Welcome to Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, coming to you from the rolling hills of Big Spring Valley in beautiful Alabama. Katherine Lang offers words of encouragement and hope to help grow up lives boldly pursuing peace and joy. Katherine seeks out the rainbows of life while sharing her lollipops of encouragement along her journey. Here on Growing Hope, she features words to help hope and grow courage, all while challenging herself and listeners to radical choices and bold purpose. This is Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, where we are growing hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. And now, here's your host, Katherine Lang.
Hello and welcome to Growing Hope, where we are investing just a few moments to grow up hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. I am Katherine Lang and I am your rainbows and lollipops host because I know firsthand how much stronger you can be with a foundation of hope to stand on. I've been taking a stand to be an encouragement and to share encouragement, and I have literally been hit on every side. The world does not want me encouraged, and the world definitely does not want me sharing encouragement. The world thrives on strife, and strife thrives in discouragement. The flame of encouragement must be taken down. It may not be an actual conspiracy, but it sure feels that way. It especially feels that way when you're moving along at a fairly good clip, and all of a sudden, someone jerks the floor out from under you. Not just the rug, but the whole floor. Somehow, you manage to hold on and regain balance and keep going, and despite the fact that there is no floor, and then all of a sudden they start swinging wrecking balls in your path. Now, not only do you have to find a way to move forward without a floor, but somehow you have to avoid the wrecking balls along the way. I know that encouragement will get me through even that. But on too many occasions, I have watched others give in to the missing floors or to the wrecking balls. Discouragement took the lead, and it seemed from their perspective that all was lost. I've never realized just how many people around me were under the heel of discouragement until I became aware of the symptoms that cover the lives of those that are surviving discouragement, because it is merely surviving. There is no living when discouragement is in charge. Discouragement can be like that small fly, you know, the one that you just can't quite see, so you definitely can't kill it, but it keeps buzzing in your ear and driving you a little bit crazy. It becomes hard to concentrate on anything other than that nagging, buzzing fly. But discouragement can also grow up into something that suffocates you and affects everyone around you. It weighs you down under a thick, dark cloud that blocks out the light and all possibility of escape. Or at least it makes it feel that way. That's what it does. It deludes us into believing that. Did you know that someone that is in the dark, in that thick, heavy kind of dark, they can't start seeing the light just because you say there's light available? They have to find a way to get past the dark, to recognize the dark for the delusion that it is, so that they can then begin to reach for that light. It starts with recognizing discouragement, because in recognizing discouragement, I position myself to break free from the darkness that discouragement creates. One, discouragement produces pessimism, a focus on inadequacy, and a need to find faults in others in order to feel better about self. Second, discouragement creates a zone out mentality, a feeling of being trapped because you are trapped in a way, and an overall lack of initiative. Three, discouragement crushes confidence. It creates a loser mentality and can even push into a place where you're loud and overbearing because of the fears and frustrations that are mounting. Four, discouragement creates a stuck feeling. And it traps the mind in the moment, or more likely in the past moments. And finally, discouragement drives a need for perfectionism and complete control, and can result in a need for constant affirmation or any type of attention, including negative attention. Now, I had an aha moment recently about discouragement. I've been trying to help a friend see what I saw, the blessings, the possibilities, the strength that he had shown in the past, but he refused to see it. Or it was more that he couldn't see it. That was my aha moment. I was trying to show him the light, but the reality was crowded by the dark. He barely even understood what I meant by light, much less had the capacity to see it. I began to watch his words and his actions, and I recognized a multitude of the symptoms that show up when discouragement has a foothold. Just knowing that he was battling such a fight against discouragement helped me to get into a position to help him win that fight. The encouragement I had been trying to pour over him actually added to the heap on top of him because it couldn't penetrate the barrier of discouragement. That is how strong its effect had become. Whether discouragement is just that small pestering fly that is driving you a little bit crazy, or it's become that mass of dark crushing the life out of you, until it's recognized for what it is, I'll struggle to be an encouragement for others. I want to encourage everyone I encounter, but my enthusiasm for hope can be just as annoying to someone under the weight of discouragement as that buzzing fly. It is important for me to hold back my wave of rainbows and lollipops, at least until I look at the person, at the situation, and over the moment, and see what they are facing down, to see if maybe they have some symptoms of discouragement that are crushing them from being able to see the silver lining. I have lived with discouraged people around me, and it can be a tough walk for a natural-born encourager. I want to pour out the hope, but my voice comes out more like the teacher in Charlie Brown specials, you know, wah, 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 wah. I've walked into discouraged situations, and the message of positivity only served as a lightning rod that drew all those negatives in that moment and from around the room. That's a painful position to be in, and it doesn't take too many strikes before the encouragement well is completely depleted. The more I learn to recognize discouragement, the more prepared I can be to survive those moments. I look for certain things when I'm watching for the attacks of discouragement. One, pessimism. That attitude that springs from Plum disease. You know, poor little old me. It's the tendency to see the worst aspect of things in every situation, or to expect the worst things to happen. I know of a man that can find the worst in any situation. He saw the newspaper report about a man that had lived to be 105 before he passed away, and he confessed to smoking every single day. Now, the pessimistic man shook his head and said, well, just imagine how long he'd have lived if he hadn't smoked. You know, pessimism sees the negative. Pessimism that grows up in discouragement will be even more prone to find that negative, because instead of seeing the new job that he just got, pessimism will remind him that he'll probably lose it just like he did the last one. The pessimism wraps up tight with the spirit of inadequacy, and the man begins to think that he will never be able to keep a job. In a last-ditch effort to find some footing, the pessimism and inadequacies drive the man to find fault in others in order to deflect from his own faults. Be on the lookout for pessimism. 2. Zone out. A person lost in discouragement gets lost in the circumstances around him. He'll do whatever he can to distract from the need to take action. And he'll focus on unimportant tasks or events or even things like watching television. the zoning out and the lack of action begins to eat away at the energy. And the lack of energy steals the initiative and leaves the person without the ability to take a step in any direction. I knew a brilliant man that had an amazing life ahead of him. I mean, he had the right pedigree, and he had the right training, and he had the right aptitude to do it all. But he had lived so long in a world of negatives that he just sat around playing video games all day. The discouragement had eaten away at his ability to move. The third thing is a crushed confidence. Discouragement hides past victories, and it clouds out all possibilities so that all that a man can see is the potential failure. The words can't, never, and fail all begin to play a major role in the conversations because there is a belief that he can never do anything right. Because of this negative mindset, the man begins to avoid all responsibilities. If he doesn't do anything, then he can't mess it up. He may also begin to let his hurts and his frustrations come out through loud and overbearing attitudes. A man crushed under the weight of discouragement gives in to a self-deprecating spirit that perpetuates the feelings of inadequacy. Number four is stuck. A discouraged man becomes caught in the moment. He'll be held down by fear, the fear to fail, the fear to succeed, or the fear to change. They're all equally disturbing to him. It seems easier and more comfortable to let things stay the same, even though he is not happy with the way things are. Discouragement holds the mind captive, so the imagination has no way to roam. It keeps new ideas from coming or from being formed. Discouragement holds the man hostage in the moment. And finally, number five, perfectionism. Believe it or not, discouragement creates the illusion that the only way to make it is to make it perfect. If it's not exact, then it's not worth doing. Perfectionism protects from mistakes and against possible failure because everything is just right. A man trapped in discouragement will have a need to control it all, and at the same time, will also have a need for affirmation and for attention, even if the attention is negative. I have found in my own life, the negative attention is a great signal for seeing discouragement in my children. Recognizing discouragement can be a major factor in learning how to offer encouragement and to grow relationships. Discouragement is a powerful force that can drive a man to hurt others or to hide away from life. Both are equally destructive, not only to the man, but to all that he encounters. When I learn to recognize discouragement, then I can better deal with discouragement and with those that are being crushed under its weight. It allows me to take better actions to begin to tear away at the hold that discouragement has so that the light of hope can begin to filter into the life. I have been in the trenches with discouragement on more than one occasion, and knowing my enemy has allowed me to come out of the battle a little less worse for the encounter. Learning to recognize discouragement can be a valuable weapon in the fight, and it is a fight. The enemy is attacking, and discouragement is one of the main tools that the enemy uses because it is such a powerful delusion that can surround the person and keep the person from grasping hold of hope. And hope is a bold way to walk out this life. We are going to defeat discouragement by learning to recognize it. Dealing with discouragement that is attacking my life is tough enough, but dealing with discouragement in the lives around me is even more of a challenge because the discouragement they are enduring is contagious, and I mean highly contagious. Even preparing this, I invested extra time so that I would not be overrun by the very thing I was seeking to detect. Now, Jesus warns us that the enemy is going to do everything possible to drag us down. In John 10:10, Jesus is trying to prepare his followers, and that does include you and me, for what would be coming for them. And it is coming for us. Jesus knew that the world would persecute and deceive and imprison. And he wanted to build up his followers for the attacks that would be coming at them. Jesus told them to remember that the thief or the enemy comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. It is the goal of the enemy and of the world to drag me down and cover me over with discouragement, because when discouragement covers me, then the enemy wins every time. I have to remove the discouragement, even if it's just removing a little bit of it, if I'm going to move from the place it's trying to hold me. Jesus goes on to provide a tool for getting moving, even if it's just that little bit. He gives me some hope to grasp hold of when he says, and this is still from John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Discouragement doesn't want me to think about this promise. Discouragement wants to mute this promise, or even to erase it if possible, or to make me think it's erased. Discouragement knows that this one promise contains the power to dispel it forever, because Jesus himself came to this earth so that I can have an abundant life. Let that sink in for a moment. Jesus made the way, and discouragement is one of the most powerful tools the enemy has to keep me from walking out that promise. Paul had some really tough times in his life. I mean, he was beaten more than once, and stoned more than once, and imprisoned more than once. Are we sensing a theme here? And he was shipwrecked. If anyone had a right to have a cloud of discouragement over his head, it was Paul. In Corinthians 4, 8 and 9, Paul debunks discouragement. Paul says we are afflicted in every way, but that does not mean we are crushed. And we are perplexed about the path, but we do not despair because we know that the journey has been prepared. We are persecuted by man and by the world, but we are not forsaken by God. And we are struck down by the enemy, but we are not destroyed. Paul defeated discouragement because he knew the forms it would be taking, and he was prepared for the battle with the weapons of hope and possibilities that come from the promises of God. Discouragement is a dream crusher and a possibility killer. It makes it impossible for the man to think outside of the normal or ordinary, or even just to think at times. Understanding discouragement is a valuable part of growing encouragement and protecting against the attacks that discouragement is waging. Thank you so much for joining me in learning how to recognize discouragement so that I can stand bold against the attacks. In this world, we will have challenges, but if I am prepared and can recognize the guise that they will come in, then I can stay off the attacks. It's been an encouragement for me to share with you, and now I hope that you will share with me. You can email me at radio@katherinelang.com and share your stories or thoughts or even questions. I would also enjoy the opportunity to engage and connect with you on social media. You can find me all around the internet as Katherine C. Lang. On Facebook, I'm The Katherine C. Lang. On Twitter, it's @KatherineCLang. On Google Plus, it's the plus symbol Katherine C. Lang. And on YouTube, it's again The Katherine C. Lang. You can listen to all the syndicated broadcasts of Growing Hope by visiting www.katherinelang.com/on-air. The world is going to come at us with everything it has when we begin to recognize the disguises that discouragement tries to put on in order to delude us into believing that the promises that God has made us are not for us. The discouragement is going to try to convince us that the possibilities that have been planted in our hearts and our minds are not ever going to be the reality that we walk out. Discouragement is going to do all it can to convince us that where we are now is more than we ever deserve. And that's a lie. It's time to expose discouragement for what it is. I am Catherine Lang, and I am your Rainbows and Lollipops host, because every day holds a promise of more, and every action contains the power of possibility. It's not about what the world says or even what the world shows. The strength of hope and encouragement will and does push through the limits and the walls of the world. My prayer is, and always will be, that the words I share are helping establish foundations of hope that will shatter the delusions of the world around us. Be blessed and be a blessing.
Thanks for joining us this week for Growing Hope with Catherine Lang. Catherine is a leader in encouragement, a networking specialist, and your Hope Smith extraordinaire. To learn more about Growing Hope, visit Catherine's website at www.catherinelang.com. That's www.catherinelang.com. Catherine is also available to speak or teach at your next event. Use the contact form on the website or email Catherine with queries or questions at contactus@catherinelang.com. If you are looking for more hope and inspiration for your week, you can sign up for the Reflections column that mails out each Sunday at www.catherinelang.com/reflections. And be sure to join us back here each week for Growing Hope, where Catherine shares her heart for encouragement and her vision for hope. Until next week, keep watching for that place where your heart is open to pursue the extraordinary.